You want to turn with me as I read my text, you'll find it in Numbers chapter 6. I want to begin reading in verse 22. Numbers chapter 6 and verse 22. Numbers chapter 6 and verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise you shall bless the children of Israel. Say it unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. I want to look at this thought this morning with you. The Lord bless thee. The Lord bless thee. It's often said in the Scriptures that we bless the Lord. And we do. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. He healeth all your diseases and forgives all your iniquities. We bless Him. But our blessings add nothing to Him. Our blessing Him simply means we praise Him. His blessings to us add everything. When we bless Him, we just return to Him that which He's worthy of. Thanksgiving for what we've received. We give unto Him the glory that's due His name. But when He blesses us, He gives us. He gives us out of His riches what we don't possess and what we don't earn. We add nothing to Him. We simply praise Him. What could we add to the eternal triune God? If I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you. The cattle on a thousand hills is mine. God is not worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything. God needs nothing. We have nothing to give Him but our praises, our thanksgiving. But out of His abundant riches, He blesses us. He adds to us. The Lord bless thee. And He's so rich, He can bless us all, and all His riches not be exhausted. He knows how to bless a man. He's wise in blessing a man. And He's rich in mercy. He's rich in mercy. He blesses all of us with His temporal blessings. There's not a person here this morning that God hasn't blessed. He's blessed us all with His carnal blessings. The blessings of this life. God's mercies are over all His works. And He's blessed a bunch of us with His heavenly blessings. His spiritual blessings. But everything that comes from God is a blessing. Isn't it a blessing to have a family? Our family may be like David's family. Maybe a mess. But I tell you, it's a blessing to have a family. It's a blessing to have children, is it not? Blessed is the man that has his quiver full of them. But if it's a blessing to be in a natural family, how much more to be in the family of God? Amen. To be here among the brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, it's good to have food to eat. And we'll see that in a few minutes, won't we? It's good to be hungry. It's good to have a digestive system. Good when God
gives us our daily bread.
What a blessing that is. But what a blessing it is for God to give us His bread from heaven. I'm the true bread of God, which cometh down from heaven. You eat of this bread, you'll live forever. What a blessing God has given us. Isn't it a wonderful to have a house to go to? There's a lot of people. I preached to several people a few days ago. Men and women that had no house to go to. Isn't it wonderful to have a house? When you leave here to go to your house, to go to your home, you can go home when you can't go anyplace else. There's no place like home. Isn't it wonderful to have a father's house? In my father's house. Oh, I'm blessed with a nice house, a comfortable house, but I'm blessed with my father's house too. Isn't it wonderful to have a bed just to lay down and rest? There's a lot of people work all day and can't sleep of the night. They can't rest. They have no rest. Isn't it wonderful to go home and you're so tired and you just lay your weary body down on your bed and rest and you say, what a blessing. Isn't it wonderful to have a Savior? You can take your weary, heavy soul to and rest in Him. What a blessing. What a blessing. He has blessed us with His carnal blessings, His temporal blessings, and so many of us He's blessed with His heavenly blessings, His spiritual blessings. It's good to have a little something to leave your kids, to have an inheritance. My dad left me a little money. I spent it all, but it was good to have it. And it thrilled him to leave me and my sisters and my brothers an inheritance. It was such a blessing. We bury people all the time that don't have enough money to bury themselves. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it a blessing to have that inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you? The Lord has blessed us, has He not? He's blessed us in so many ways, carnally and spiritually. And is any of us worthy of it? Are we worthy of any of His blessings? Have you ever earned a blessing from God? His blessings are so free. His blessings come from His own riches, undeserved. He simply blesses us because of who He is. He's God. He's God. Jacob said, Lord, I'm not worthy of the least of Your mercies. The centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy that You should come under my house. And when you and I think about being blessed of the Lord, we're unworthy. We're unworthy. And I'm telling you, the only thing any of us can do is just say, Lord, we praise You. Thank You. Thank You. The Lord bless thee. The Lord bless thee. My first point this morning is this, and I want you to think of this. God is able to bless a man. The Lord bless thee. And you know, this is not something that Moses thought up in his head. He wasn't out thinking one day, what can I get to preach on? I think I'll come up with this. The Lord bless you. That didn't come from his heart. This came from the Lord.
Yes.
This originated with the Lord's heart. And he said, you go tell Aaron to tell them this. I can bless them. I'm able to bless them. Brothers and sisters, the Lord knows how to bless you. He's not only rich enough to bless you, He knows how to bless you. And that being so, shouldn't we seek His blessing? Far getting in nothing, His blessings to seek. Jacob sought His blessing. And Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I know you can bless me. And I'm going to hang on until you do it. Jabez, that honorable man,
He went and sought God. And he said, Lord, bless me. Bless me. Enlarge my borders. Keep me from sin, from evil, that it don't grieve me. And you know what the Scripture says? The Lord granted him his request. The Lord bless you. And if the Lord is willing to bless, the Lord is able to bless, then I think I would be correct this morning in telling us we should seek His blessing. And you know something about the blessings of the Lord? When He blesses you, nobody can reverse it. We've been studying about Balaam in our Bible study. And one thing that false prophet knew, he knew this. When God blessed, nobody can reverse it. He blesses you and He adds no burden with it. There's burdens. It comes from our unbelief. It comes from flesh. It comes from the world. But the burdens of the Lord makes rich. He adds no burdens with those blessings. The Lord is able to bless you. I've often thought of those little children that the disciples brought to Christ. The mothers brought them to Christ and He took them up in His arms. I've often thought when He blessed those children, wouldn't you love to follow those children? As they came into teenage years and grew into adults, wouldn't you love to just follow them? Because you know something? Those children were blessed. He took them in His arms and He blessed them. And I bet you each one of those children could have wrote a book about it. Here's where He blessed me. That wasn't just some ritual He went through. You may come up here, you may bring your children up to me and say, Bruce, would you put your hands on my children and pronounce a blessing? That wouldn't do those children a bit of good. I may bless them and pray over them, and they may turn out to be devils. But you know something? You take your child to the Lord. And let Him pronounce a blessing upon that child shall be blessed. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. I just love to think about that. The Lord bless you. Let's look at these blessings. I think it's very telling, the first blessing that they were to pronounce. Here in verse 24 is very telling. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Well, I think it's very telling that the first blessing, the Lord keep thee. All the blessings He could bless us with, I would say would mean very little if He don't keep us. Those angels in heaven, my, look how high they were. Look how holy they were. Look how happy they were. But they fail. And let's be honest about it. When did they fall? When He removed His hand. Our first parents there in the garden. Look at all the benefits that they enjoyed. They fail. When did they fall? When He removed His hand. The first blessing was pronounced like this. The Lord keep thee. We can't keep ourselves, can we? We're told to keep ourselves. Keep ourselves in the love of God. We're told to use every means that God has made available to us. And God helps us to do it. But means will mean nothing unless He keeps us. Unless He uses the means. He said, keep yourselves in the love of God, and then turn right around and make this statement. God who is able to keep you from falling. Oh, that's a blessing, ain't it? God keep you from what? From falling. Oh, how many have we seen fall? Don't our hearts think about it and break? Oh, we've seen false professors fall. And finally reveal what they were. But we've seen believers fall. We've fallen.
Have you ever failed in your heart? Have you ever failed into unbelief? What a blessing there is, which God pronounces a blessing like this. The Lord keep you from falling. From falling into temptations. From falling into sin. From falling and bringing shame on His name. Reproach on His people. The Lord keep you from falling. Oh, I tell you, if you and I could see in the air, if the Lord would open our hearts, our eyes, and let us see as He did Elijah's servant, what was in the air, we'd see these elect angels flying everywhere, protecting, guarding the Lord's people. But we'd see more than that. We'd see demons filling the air, and they're laying stumbling blocks. They're digging pits, pushing souls over the edge of cliffs. We'd see that, wouldn't we? And all we'd cry out, Lord, keep me. Keep me. I tell you, there's some wonderful statements, and you know them. You could think of them yourself about being kept. Except the Lord keep the city. Oh, except the Lord keep the heart. The watchman waketh but in vain. The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds. I tell you, as I grow older in the Lord, one thing I desire above everything else, and that's peace. I tell you, I don't rejoice. I'll be honest with you. This is just me. I don't rejoice much anymore. I mean, you won't come and find me up on the cloud shouting. Sitting up there looking down, shouting and waving. You just won't find me doing that. I used to do a lot of that. You know what I desire more than anything else now? The peace of God to keep my heart. I tell you sometimes, and you feel this same way, you're just that close to insanity. Sometimes the burdens, the weights of this life, the trials, you have to struggle just to breathe. And it's not rejoicing you feel like you want. It's not being up in the clouds you think will keep your mind and heart, but the peace of God. And boy, when the peace of God keeps your mind, you're just on one steady level. You see the young converts and bless their hearts. They're just rejoicing and they're happy, but you're just right there. Next time you see them, they're down and wondering and doubtful and fearful, but you're right there. And what's going on? The Lord has blessed you. He's keeping you. The Lord keep you. The Lord keep you. The Lord keep us when we're here worshiping. The Lord keep us when we leave here and go to our homes. The Lord keep us when we're on our jobs. The Lord keeps us when we're on vacation. Lord bless us and keep us. Look at the second blessing He pronounces in verse 25. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. We often, especially preachers, we often say this to each other. I wonder how much we know about even what this means. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee. You know what this means. You ever wonder about what this means? The Lord makes His face to shine upon you. You know what that means? That means He opens up your heart, your dark heart, and He shines the gospel of His grace into it. That's what that means. We know that from the New Testament. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Remember that when the earth lay void, darkness was upon the face of the deep. Such darkness that you could feel it. It was so thick. But God said, let there be light. And there was light. Paul said, there's the gospel. God who commanded the light to shine out in the beginning, He shined, where? In your heart, in your dark heart, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In the face. In the face of Jesus Christ. You remember it well, don't you? You just think back. I've been on the way for quite some time. I haven't forgot the darkness that I was in. Paul, it was dark there. It was so dark I couldn't see. I really basically had just sat down. I had been feeling my way trying to get out of the darkness. I couldn't. The darkness was too thick. Remember that? Oh, you're here this morning, your soul and you're lost. I know where you're at. You're in darkness. You don't even see yourself. You don't see the way of salvation. You don't see the necessity of salvation. You don't even know who God saves or how He saves or why He saves. This darkness has blinded your mind. And you know what you need? For the Lord to bless you. Lord, bless me. And what does He do? He sends this light. Those who sat in darkness saw a great light. And boy, when you see that light, you say, man, how great that is. How great that is. The Lord calls His face to shine upon thee. It's been a cloudy spring up home. Somebody just mentioned a few minutes ago, said, I've been watching the weather. Brother David said, I've been watching the weather in Indiana. He said, boy, it's been a cloudy, wet spring up there, ain't it? It has. And you know I hate that. Boy, I get to feeling so depressed. We went through a bad winter, just snowed, and it was cold, and it never did warm up. Every day, these old clouds, and it raining. You know the sun's there. It just ain't shining through the clouds. Oh, Lord, ain't that the way we are? Even as believers, our days get so cloudy. And here's the blessing. Oh, Lord, cause Your face to shine. Shine in my heart. Dispel this mist. Burn this fog away. And let me see Christ, my Savior. Let me see His face. And oh, what a thrill to see His face. I heard Brother Scott Richardson standing right in this pulpit. One of the first times I ever heard him preach. And he preached out of Revelation 22. They shall see His face. And if it's wondrous, if it's a blessing to see His face here in His gospel, how much more will it be to see His face on earth? Oh, the Lord bless you. Cause His face, make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And in verse 26, here's the third one. Look at this. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. His countenance. Now, what's that about? What's it meant by countenance anyway? Well, a countenance. When you see somebody's countenance, it really tells you how they feel about you at that moment. Have you ever went into a church and you hadn't seen some folks for a while? And they look at you and turn away, then they do a double take, and their face lights up, and they smile. What does that do to you? What does that tell you? Oh, my, he loves me. Oh, He hasn't forgotten me. Look at His face. Look at His countenance. That's what it is. What is this countenance the Lord making to rise upon you? It's His favor.
when he lets you know that you have obtained favor in his eyes.
Poor old Jacob saw Laban's face. Laban was so mad at him. And he went home and told his wife, he said, "Your dad's mad at me. Well, we're in trouble." "How do you know he's mad at you? Did he say anything?" "No, he didn't have to. I saw his countenance. That tells everything, doesn't it? Listen to what David said. "They got not the land in possession by their own sword. Neither did their own arm save them, but your right hand saved them. Thine arm saved them, and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them." That's what the countenance shows, a favor. Obtained favor. What would it mean, dear soul, this morning, if you could leave here? I mean, you saw God's frowning face. You saw His countenance. And it's made you afraid. What would it mean if you left here this morning and His countenance was shining? And you could leave here knowing without a shadow of a doubt, because He showed you, that He wasn't angry with you anymore. That you had obtained favor in His sight. Wouldn't that be a blessing? See what He's saying? The Lord bless you. The Lord show you that you've obtained favor with Him. All your sins are forgiven. All guilt is gone. All judgment. All wrath. Look at His face. See His face. I can't reveal His face to you. I can't reveal His countenance to you. I long to see it myself. He has to do that. But He can. I want you to look. I want you to hold my text, but I want you to look right quickly in Psalms 42, just for a minute. We go to the nursing home, have for years. Many of the folks there at the church, the congregation, go with us. And there's a lady there. She's been there for the last three or four times we've been there. While I was preaching about 3 months ago or so, I noticed she pushed her wheelchair out in the hallway there where she could hear me. And she was talking with one of the ladies in the church after the service. And the lady came and told me, she said, "I've never seen a lady in such a sad state of mind." And a couple of days later or so, I went back and talked to her. And she said, "Nobody knows how bad I am." She said, "Nobody knows what I've done. Not only against people, but against God. And I've never in my life seen anybody's countenance so fallen. Her eyes were bloodshot. Her lips were quivering. Tears filled her eyes, running down her cheeks. I sat for quite some time and tried to explain unto her the way God saves sinners, and how pitiful and how condescending and how willing our Lord Jesus Christ was to never turn a one away that comes to Him. But the devil has so convinced that woman that she is so bad, that she has so sinned against God, that now He won't save her." And I said, "Are you praying? Are you seeking Him?" And she said, "Not anymore." You know what she needs? There's one thing that will do that poor woman any good. For God in Jesus Christ to let her know that He's not angry with her anymore. For the mere sake of His dear and darling Son, she has obtained favor in His sight. But to convince her of that, He's going to have to break through all of the darkness of her mind. Her soul is the stronghold of Satan himself, and only the Lord can bless her and prove it to her that he's saved her. David was in trouble here in Psalm chapter 42. Look at it in verse 3. My tears have been my meat day and night. While they continually say unto me, where's your God? If you have a God, where is he? Why ain't he helping you? Why is he forsaken? Look here in verse 6. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan. Look in verse 7. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows have gone over me. Look in verse 9. I say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? David found one help and one hope. Look in verse 6. Look in verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. David had lost the sense of the Lord's favor. Don't we do that sometimes? We go groping, we get depressed. Why? He's hid his countenance. His countenance is not rising upon us. What does he need to do? He needs to bless us. And when his countenance rises upon us, look what happens in verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. He's not only the help, but he's the help. I tell you, if I went down there to see that woman next week and the Lord had caused his countenance to rise upon her, I'd see it in her countenance. It shows, don't it? Moses was speaking for the world, I think, in Psalms chapter 90. Don't turn there, but I think he was speaking for the world. Listen to what he said. We are consumed by thine anger. By your wrath we're troubled. You have set our sins before thee, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. Man. All our days are passed away in wrath. We spend our years as a tale told. I tell you, God's countenance can cause a man to rejoice and give him peace. Or God's countenance will be the tormenting, most tormenting thing anybody ever seen. Why would men cry for rocks and mountains to fall on them? I never heard of such a thing, have you? That's silly. Mountains fall on me. Rocks crush me. Hide me. From what? His face. But get this, the face of the Lamb. Why, that's the face you and I want to see, is it not? Because here, when the face of Jesus Christ rises upon us now, it shows us favor. It shows us grace and mercy and salvation and delight. He won't be so yonder for the wicked and for the unbeliever. It's just almost unimaginable that the Lamb of God, who is so tender, who is so meek and lowly in his heart, so gentle, that he could turn and show the wrath of His anger. The wrath of the Lamb is come. How do you know? Look at His face. Look at His face.
Oh Lord, bless us. Bless us. Cause Your countenance to rise upon us. Show us Your favor. Look in verse 27 right quick. I'm almost finished. Numbers chapter 6, and look quickly in verse 27. This is an amazing thing. In verse 27, "And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." They shall put My name. They shall put My name upon them, and I will bless them. Ain't that amazing? Because My name is upon them, they're blessed. Mindy Mahan. She's always been Mindy, but she ain't always been Mindy Mahan. When did she become Mindy Mahan? When Paul Mahan put his name on her. I don't know how many doors that's open for you, Mindy. I have no idea. You can tell us sometime when we have time to go into it. Don't know how much you've gained from that financially or whatever. I don't know. I know what my wife says about this thing. But it's not so when the Lord puts His name. Whatever was yours became hers. I know that much. You identify with her now. She identifies with you, Paul, because her name is on you. Whatever yours is hers. You can't even consider yourself, can you? Apart from her. Because her name is upon you. Your name is upon her. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the triune God, never considers Himself apart from His church. He refuses to be called full without her. She is the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Everything that is His is now hers because His name is upon her. The Lord our righteousness. Oh, that's a beautiful phrase. That's our Master. No, that's His bride. This is the name wherewith she shall be called. The Lord our righteousness. If His name is the Lord our righteousness, and He puts His name upon her, then her name is the same as His. What great love the Father's bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That's His name. And it's upon us. And everything that belongs to Him belongs to us. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Oh, the Lord put His name on you. The Lord put His name on you. Two more things. You find this twice here in verse 23 and verse 27. Who are these blessings for? Look in verse 23. "Speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, On this wise you shall bless," who? The Moabites. The Ammonites. The Canaanites. No. Let's be honest about this now. Let's read our Bibles and confront the facts. Who are these blessings to? The covenant people. The children of Israel. "I will make your name great." That's what the Lord told Abraham. "I'm going to bless you as the stars of heaven. For your sake, I'm going to bless your descendants." And here they are. And what does He do? He pronounces His blessing on them. These blessings ain't for everybody. I'm sorry. I'm not here to offend anybody. I'm not here to argue. But I'm just here to be honest when I read God's Word. "Say to the children of Israel, the Lord bless thee." Abraham's seed.
And if you're Christ, then are you Abraham's seed? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a child of Abraham. And you're blessed. Everybody ain't blessed with these blessings. Wouldn't it be silly if I wrote my wife a letter? I was gone for a few days. And I wrote her a letter and said, "My dearest darling." And she started running around all over the neighborhood, gathering all the women up. We got a letter. We've got a letter. Come and let's read it. And here they come. Little ones and big ones, old and young ones. All the women in the neighborhood. And she sits down and reads it. "My dearest Dorothy." Now, wife, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Read on. "My dearest, darling, Joe." That's with a J-O. Or J-O-E now. "My dearest, darling, Joe." Does that tell who I'm writing to? And yet, isn't this sad? All lightness aside, isn't it sad that when people read the Bible, they say it's for everybody? They open their Bible to the epistles, to you that be at Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. No. Are you in Christ? Are you in Jesus Christ this morning? Have you found yourself accepted in Him? Then these are blessings to you. But don't make them to everybody. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. Lastly, and I'll close on this, who pronounced these blessings? Not even Moses pronounced this blessing, did he? The Lord was very, very careful who He let pronounce these blessings on the children of Israel. He said, "You tell Aaron and his sons." Who were they? The high priest. The blessing come from the mouth of the high priest. That tells us something, doesn't it? That tells us that every blessing that God has for us, it's not only through the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest, but they're pronounced upon us by Him. The words that I speak unto you, I don't speak of myself. I'm not come making these words up just because I love you. My Father, He's the one that's speaking these words through me. Brother Donnie reminded me this morning when the Lord took His disciples out on the Mount of Olives just before He ascended to heaven. Remember what He did? He lifted up His hands. Can't you see Aaron as He came out of the holiest of holies, making the atonement for the children of Israel? And there they are in the big circles around the tabernacle. And He comes out and He lifts those holy hands up and He says, "God bless you and keep you." And He pronounces all these blessings. And here, 2,500 years or so later, is Jesus Christ, God's high priest, standing on the Mount of Olives, holding His hands over His disciples. And what does the Bible say He's doing? He's blessing them. And while He blessed them, He was taken up into heaven. And you know what He's still doing there? He's still blessing them. God sent His Son to bless you. God's rich in His blessing, and they come through His Son, our high priest. Boy, you wait until the last day when the nations have been assembled and the skies roll back and everybody stands before the throne of the Son of God in His presence and at His feet and listen to Him speak. "Come, you blessed of my Father." There it is. "My Father has sent me to bless you. And you're blessed, and nobody can reverse it. So come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. The Lord bless you. Thank you.